World-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from one of our Canadian studios, here's Leon Fontaine.
I want to talk about learning to pray. Because if you don't learn to pray, you have all these rights and privileges that you don't know how to access. And so prayer is about our fellowship with God, but it's also about enforcing the covenant that Jesus gave his life for. And so if you're still reading old covenant stories and you don't know how to take them through the cross, then you are begging and bugging and pleading with God. And that's horrible unbelief in prayer. I would get together with different groups as I would speak places around the world. They'd have prayer meetings and things. I'd get up and leave some of them. I just couldn't handle the incredible unbelief that some prayer meetings are about. If we could just get 3 people praying for us, let's get the churches in Canada praying for us, let's get the churches all across the world praying for us, then God's got to do it. What in the world kind of doctrine is that? Get the prayer tower, the prayer basement, we'll get the prayer closet, we'll get the prayer team, we'll get the prayer people. Okay, we should all be praying, of course. But people do not understand prayer. Now, prayer has been different down through the ages. Prayer was different in the Old Testament. Prayer was different when Jesus taught it before his death. Prayer is different after his death. And Jesus spent chapters teaching prayer so that people would know how to pray the prayer life of the kingdom of God. And so today I want to talk a little bit about it. I want to make sure you understand that if you don't love prayer, if you don't get excited because you're learning, number one, to fellowship with God. This prayer of fellowshipping and talking and getting into His Word and just fellowshipping with Holy Spirit. And as you learn the Word, you begin to have a new identity. And until your identity is established by grace in your heart, you'll just be a vain repetition prayer. And so I pray that you'll understand and have a passion for this thing called prayer. You see, in the Old Testament, they believed in different things about prayer than we do now. I'll give you an example. Anybody in the Old Testament that had to have faith and prayer, they got a word from God. Moses got a burning bush. Abraham got a visit from an angel. Joshua got a visit from an angel. You just find men and women who did great things for God. In the Old Testament, God spoke with them directly. A word from an angel, God would use a burning bush. He'd have Abraham count the stars. Those are going to be your kids. He would do different things. And then they would rise up and they would go forth in the word that God gave them. And if they didn't, God would have to find someone else. Moses was supposed to take him into the promised land. He blew it. Read the story. And he had to raise Joshua up to do it. In the New Testament, what they put their faith in there, as we follow 12 apostles and Jesus, was they put their faith in what Jesus said to do. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. Jesus said, we're going to feed this multitude. Go find me some food. And they listened and obeyed Jesus. If they couldn't get to the other side and the boat in the storm, Jesus would walk on the water. Peter got up and walked on the water. We all remember him sinking, but Jesus pulled him back to his feet and didn't do the fireman carry back to the boat. Peter walked with him back to the... Jesus would say things, and the disciples got their marching orders. In the New Testament, once Jesus died and rose again, and once Jesus had taken your my place and gave us his life, his authority, you have to understand that prayer changed again. And Jesus teaches a lot about prayer, but people just mix it up. They grab a little bit about prayer from Jesus and a little bit of prayer from Abraham and a little bit of prayer from Ezekiel. Let's grab some a little bit from Jeremiah. Let's throw it all together. Let's mix it up. And oh, it's going to be good prayer. You know, ladies don't cook that way. You don't say, "Wow, what do I got in my kitchen? Throw a little bit in the bowl over here and a little bit over there, you know, and throw it together. It's going to taste good." We don't go to sporting events and go, "Hey, look at the basketball guy. He just scored a touchdown. And look at the guy. Oh, they're fighting in the corner like hockey and it's basketball." No, there's different guidelines for different sports. And so it is true for prayer. One person said to me after I did a teaching on prayer, "You know, you make this too hard. And you know, God knows our heart, and everything is simple." I'm going, "No, that's not true. All through the Word, there's scriptures that say, move on from the elementary things. Come on. God once winked at your ignorance. Now He wants you to know His Word. To not know His Word is to not wear the armor, because each piece is a revelation of a different doctrine in the Word. To not begin to rise up and know what your authority is." And so Jesus began to teach what prayer would be like when He rose again. And He said, for the first time in thousands of years, there was going to be a new way to pray. And this new way to pray had never been used before. And it was, "When you pray, use my name." Never been used before. Nowhere in the Old Testament, of all the books in the Bible, never was the name used in prayer. And then He began to teach us how to pray. He began to teach us how to use the spoken word and not even pray, just use authority. For example, "Speak to mountains, and they will obey you if you don't doubt in your heart." It doesn't even talk about prayer. It's talking about the release of words. Jesus taught a new way to bring authority into the planet. And so the church was commissioned to pray this way. And the church is considered the greatest group that ever will walk the planet. It wasn't the house of Israel. It wasn't the Israelites in an old covenant. Thank God for how God began to use the precious Israelites to start there with them. And even they were to take this to the world. And so this progression from the book of Genesis on is to have a people of God on this planet who not only knew God and followed God, but had His presence on the inside. They had their sins forgiven. They had things going on that made them potent on the planet. But instead, we seem to have in so many cases kind of a mealy-mouthed, shallow, diabetic crowd of people who just feed on candy and just bless me with something really easy. Like, "Tell me Jesus loves me and things are good, and whew, I'll go do another week." Why don't we just teach you how to get up and have authority? Why don't we teach you how to get up and walk through the problems and take on the mountains? You see, God has given you and I an inheritance. Okay? But the inheritance and the agreement isn't between you and God. Did you know that when you read in Galatians 3:16 how that God made promises to Abraham, and one of the promises that Paul was teaching in Galatians was that God would have an agreement with his seed, not plural, singular. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that the human race has an agreement with God, the human race. And the person who represents the human race is Jesus Christ. Do you understand that in heaven, there's only one human body? Right now as I speak, only one human body is in heaven. Every person that we love and has died, their bodies are buried, cremated, buried at sea, disappeared in a bush or someplace, but their bodies do not go to heaven. And they'll get a new body one day. But in heaven at the right hand of the Father is Jesus Christ in His crucified body. Bible's very clear. You'll see the nail holes in His hands. You'll see the spear hole in His side. You'll see the marks on His head. Why is that? Because you and I aren't going to have any scars on our new body in heaven. It's because of His intercessory place. Some Christians go, "Well, Jesus is interceding for me. I don't even need to pray." Read your Bible. It doesn't say He's up there praying for you. It says he is your intercessory, your mediator. He is standing there at the right hand of the Father, and anything you use the name of Jesus for, and if any demon from hell was trying to challenge in the courtroom of heaven that they have no right, there's Jesus standing, nail holes still in his hands. He took your sin. He took your death. He rose again and gave you new life. And so you and I, if we had to go to court, we would want it signed, or we would want witnesses that you gave your word. But in heaven at the right hand of the Father is the guarantee of the covenant for the church. There stands Jesus. And the marks on his body means he died in your place, he suffered in your place, went to hell in your place, took the curse in your place, so that you could rise up and you could walk in the power and the blessing of God.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
If I was to ask each individual person, what is the message of the cross? Most people would say something like, you know, to forgive our sins. And they would be like 1/100th right. But if you stop there and you don't go with the rest of the message of the cross, you will live so unhappy, so filled with fear. You will be at the mercy of any new weird doctrine that comes along because you're so frantically wanting. Where do you find the power to live your life? Where do you find the passion to get up with a sense of joy, a sense of peace? It's not found with a bunch of new 43 keys, 27 points. It's not found with you having an epiphany. Oh, I never saw that before. It's found at the cross. And we've got to go back to the most basic message. And when your mind grasps the message of the cross, my friend, you will know peace. Because Jesus went to the cross, the Apostle Paul and Peter and Luke and some of these men who wrote the New Testament begin to bring a new way of praying that stuns people, and it made all of the religious people in Jesus' day, it was the stumbling block that they stumbled over. They couldn't get this faith righteousness that I'm righteous because of Jesus. I'm righteous through Jesus. When these disciples were walking around and raising the dead and healing the sick, they weren't perfect. Okay? It's not like they never had a bad thought, never had a dirty thought, never had a temptation, never got mad. No. I'm sure if they were giving people the finger back then, they were tempted too. These were not perfect men. These were men who were born again, and the perfection of the ability to pray comes because of Jesus in your spirit. Now, your mind, your emotions, and your body, they as well can change and grow. But that's for the benefit of the person you're sitting beside. But between you and God, Christ established that. That's why in the Old Testament, every promise has an if. And I hear this quoted all the time. If my people will humble themselves and pray, I'll heal their land. Maybe get in the new covenant and find out that there's no if on that promise. That God, he'll turn a city upside down with one guy. Philip goes to a city. The entire city turns to Christ. One man. The Apostle Paul took out the then known world of the Roman Empire, brought the gospel everywhere, changed the then known world, and it has now changed our world with over 2 billion people who in some way or form say that they are Christian, that Jesus is Lord and Savior, whatever degree that they find and they are committed to him. That's the kind of difference he made. Never traveled more than 100 miles from his home. Never had any title in the nation at that time of any greatness. He never wrote a book. No one's got, oh, Jesus wrote this out and handed it to me. I still got it 2,000 years later. You can't find. What made this man great was the presence and the power of God in the message whose time was here. And that was, I will build my church. And so you are an heir. And according to 2 Corinthians 1:20, the yes to all of God's promises is in Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, the yes had to come from you. the believing, the sacrificing of an animal, you'd better be under the old covenant with the blood of bulls and goats so that you could walk out that Old Testament kind of prayer. But in the New Testament, this is such a done deal that people struggle with this. And I'm going to challenge you. I don't care if you've been born again for 40 years or you're a former missionary or preacher or whatever. Get into the Word and learn to pray the New Covenant prayer. Jesus died so that you and I could get up, and every prayer should be answered. Well, Leon, what if it's the wrong prayer? Well, that's understandable. But when you take His Word and His Spirit, you know, to those who are really great faith people and love the Word, this is crucial, because to not know the Word leaves you in a place where the enemy can play with your head and your emotions so much because you're not anchored in the Word. But even once you're anchored in the Word, Jude 20 says, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, which you got through the Word, praying in the Holy Spirit. When you have a relationship with Holy Spirit and you feed on God's Word, when these two come together, you are and have an incredible ability to walk in confidence. You can sense the presence of God on people who know the Word and the Holy Spirit. It's not just bravado. It's just not great public speaking. It's not just this look like I got it together. No, it follows them day in and day out when you talk, when you laugh, when you love, when you play. In every area of your life, there is this. They could just say the disciples had been with Jesus. When you understand, like Galatians 3:13, that says Christ took away the curse of the law that was put on us. He changed places with us, and He became your curse, my curse. If you're sitting here and you think that the disease you've got is because of a former sin, you've been lied to. If you think that you're here and the condition you have is a DNA situation that has come through the generations of your family name, you have been lied to. The curse, as written in Deuteronomy 28, verses 16 and on, all of those curses, Jesus took them all, item by item, line upon line. And He died and He took the curse of the law, even went to hell in your place, so that as a believer, you're an heir. You have inherited the blessing. When did you inherit the blessing and the promises of God? Well, even before you were born. Because 2,000 years ago, every person that would ever be born on this planet as a human being could call upon the name of Jesus, believe in Him, and become a part of Jesus' body, His group called the church. The church has been so watered down because when we say, hey, the church, we think of the building on First Street and the building on Third Street and the building over there. And no, the church is not a building. The church is the ecclesia. It's the called out to sent forth ones. And any church that sits in four walls is not a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. To sit and do nothing as your country changes in any area, politics, education, health care, to do nothing. You can't be a part of the church because the church is the salt and the light to everything on this planet. We bring incredible creativity to arts and entertainment. We bring stunning wisdom and strength to politics and business. Where others might cheat or lie, the Church of Jesus Christ can stand in a place and lead in a way that this world is changed. He didn't say, pray. I won't answer 90% of them, but it's good to pray. Jesus taught, you speak to the Father in my name, and I'll give it to you. He said, you speak to a mountain. Don't even ask me about the mountains. Just speak to them. What would that mountain represent? The problem. What problem? Any curse of a law that comes into your life, you command it to go. And as the Word begins to build in you and the Spirit of God begins to come upon you, both are up to you. Both are up to you. If you're tired of having to run around finding somebody with a little faith, then get some. If you're tired of running around trying to find a prophet to give you a word so he gets some direction, just hear for yourself. What makes the Church of Jesus Christ so stunning is that for the first time in the history of the planet, there was a group of people that had, they were a royal priesthood and a holy nation. They were both kings and priests. In the Old Testament, a priest would go into the Holy of Holies and communicate with God on behalf of the people. You are a priest and you get to walk into the Holy of Holies in your prayer time and chat with Him yourself. And in the name of Jesus, any of your inconsistencies, any of your weaknesses, any of the things you struggle with that makes you feel God would never talk to you, you're right, so don't use your name. Don't go, yeah, I'm here in the name of Leon, God. It's going to go like, I'm here in the name of Jesus. Thought you'd never come, Leon. So glad you're taking advantage. Do you know that God is like this father that just can't wait to see you make use of all the promises? He's not holding all the promises in a basket going, oh, I hope I don't get asked too much today. Well, all right, that word. Well, give one of them some healing. Okay, prosper one of them. No, he's just going, I just can't wait till my kids take advantage of what my son died for and just walk in this new life, walk in the blessing. Just rise up and go do it. The Word of God talks a lot about suffering. And people get that messed up too. You see, suffering with sickness and poverty and depression and unhappiness. No, He's not talking about suffering with the curse. The curse was taken care of. The suffering that we share in with Christ is that there is a world out there where Satan is the god of this world, Corinthians 4:4. And they don't like it. They like it, the church, if you stay in your four walls and just be stupid. Stay dumb till he comes. But if you rise up and begin to bring the life of Jesus into the public square, if you rise up and bring the life of Jesus into TV stations, into channels and governments, you know, it's just like all of a sudden everybody's mad and unhappy. And so they were, Jesus said, they didn't like me, they won't like you. But don't worry about it, I've overcome them all. It doesn't mean that we act stupid. It doesn't mean that we bring religiosity into the marketplace or into the government or into education. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But if we stand up, people will have a few things to say. It bugged me when I was a younger pastor because I get all these death threats. You get all these people. And then finally I realized, Jesus said, don't worry about it. Just keep going. And then I started looking at really great people. Do football players suffer? Talk to one. I remember our coach taping one broken finger to the next and get back out there. I remember having my ankles so twisted, that turkey would have this freeze spray, tape it immobile, and get back on the field. Today, professional football, watch basketball. But who's that? They're famous for having the IV bag inserted at the break because they're sick. But when you get 20 million to play every year, it's... But the church, and when things are really easy and really good and there's just nothing going on and no one will say anything negative about me, I might stand up. Good Lord. Your country, it'll be too late. Your city, it'll be too late. If people without Christ can handle the backstabbing and the betrayal of the positions they're holding, why can't the Church of Jesus Christ get up and recognize, yeah, I'm going to be hated and lied about and talked about and backstabbed? And you know what? He'll be all over you, and you'll go like that football player who's walking to the locker room, got his broken finger taped, he's got his jaw a little bit loose because the helmet got taken off and his hips a little bit out because he got tackled about 6 feet in the air, landed on his head, and he's walking back going, we won. This is the greatest game of my life. But he's so hurt. He's injured. He's broken. He's gasping. He's doing the guppy. They don't even look at that. It's worth it all for them to play the game they love. That's the kind of church we need. That's the kind of church we need. Men who'll stand up for honor and integrity. Women who'll stand up for honor and integrity, saying, this is what we need. Father, touch every one of us. Help us to know that the perfection of Jesus, you made it possible for us to enter the Holy of Holies. We're co-heirs. And Father, I pray that across our churches, across this land and around this world, the church will rise up as salt and light, not arrogant, not condescending, but to reach all of the lost sheep, the people that you love. And Father, I pray that we won't worry about who's going to blog about us and lie about us. but will get up confident knowing you've overcome them all. I'm going to take the place that you've put me in, the gifts you've placed within me. I'm going to do everything I can in our lives, Father, to advance your kingdom. Father, I pray this over this place, over Springs, over every person listening around this planet. Let your church, Father, rise up with the power that you intended it to. Every head bowed for just a moment. For those that are here that would say, Leon, I'm not sure that I am a believer. I'm not sure that I'm born again. Then I'm going to lead all of you in a powerful prayer. In fact, we are all going to pray together out loud this prayer that many of us have prayed. Let's all pray with these amazing folks. It goes like this. Just say, Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus, who died in my place, paid the price for my life, my sin. So Jesus, I accept your gift of a new life. Come into my heart. I'm following you for the rest of my days with the ability that you bring. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Welcome to the family of God. That's how powerful, how potent that is.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media.